are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It's March 27th, 2023, and I'm coming to you live. It's a very sad day in our news, and I ask that we dedicate this time, if you're listening today, to those little children who were killed in Nashville, Tennessee this afternoon, and their teachers and a custodian. So let us pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you. We do not understand what is happening in the world today. We give you the families of these little children and the teachers and the custodian and all those who are injured in Nashville, Tennessee, all those who lost their homes in Mississippi the past few days, in Georgia, and all those who've had homes flooded in California and the western states, and the extreme snowfall. We praise and thank you, Lord Jesus, because you taught us to praise and thank you in the midst of sorrow. We give you all these prayer intentions, how they have touched our lives, what we watch on television or listen to on radio or read online. We ask for your intervention, Lord Jesus, today. We pray, Lord Jesus, for your divine providence to heal and touch and move the hearts of so many people, and we ask for healing for our beloved nation. Please heal our beloved nation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I didn't feel led to have a guest today. Wasn't quite sure what the Lord wanted, and then when I heard the news this morning, my heart dropped. Of course, it's been dropping every day since the tornadoes in Mississippi and Georgia and the floods out west, and all the turmoil, excuse me, and I hope my voice lasts throughout this program in the world. And the Lord made it quite clear to me early this afternoon what he wanted, and that was what we call the catechetical vignette. And today I'm going to ask you a question. Do you wonder who's been praying for you? I want you to answer out loud. Yes, no, no idea what you're talking about. Do you wonder who's been praying for you? And today, do you feel like your spiritual gas tank is empty? If you watch the news and you see what's going on around the world in the banking industry, I don't know about you, but I have felt multiple times that my gas tank is spiritually empty. So Jesus, be with us today as we explore our hope-filled moments, our prayer-filled moments, our faith-filled moments, in which you want to bring all of us as your faith-filled listeners to have hope again, to believe that there is hope for our future, there is hope for our children, there is hope for our country, and there is hope for my voice today. My friends, for you see, there are two things that happen when we pray, and we've talked about this probably over 7 months. And the first is that God pours out grace, which can change people and situations around us. Yes, if we're praying for all these problems around the world, and we ask the Lord to intervene, God pours out his grace, which can change people and situations around us. And it can touch hearts, my friends. It can redirect attitudes and behavior. And this is what we think of first when we think of intercession, right? God's grace changing others. But God also changes us. And this is the second thing that happens when we pray. He touches our hearts. He rearranges our circumstances. And he redirects our attitudes and behavior. We become more purified as vessels of his love, his grace, don't we? of his power. So we become better able to hear the voice and carry out God the Father's will. And we become more useful as servants of the Lord, don't we? St. Peter wrote, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share God's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." That's from 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 13. Now, if you don't know this, Peter was not speaking specifically of intercession here, but there's no doubt that when we take up the weapon of intercessory prayer and go into battle, as we should be today, the fighting often gets more intense. How many times have we all said, "But I offered it up, I prayed, and it got worse"? Well, the battle becomes more intense. We should never be surprised or caught off guard by this. And it's not uncommon that we pray for a difficult situation only to see it get worse for a time. Raise your hand if this has happened to you. And then we're tempted to think, "Oh boy, great, I prayed. Look what happened. I made it worse. I must be a pretty miserable intercessor. I have my hand in the air." Now, don't listen to this lie. When the battle heats up, as it is today, it's usually a sign that our prayers are beginning to have an effect. It tells us that Satan has felt the sting of our prayer and is fighting back. Stand your ground, dear listeners. Stand your ground. Dig in your heels. Resolve that you're not going to back off. And ask God to sustain you and to show you again and again and again, how to pray. Don't give in. Stand firm. So I'm going to ask you again, is your gas tank empty, your spiritual gas tank empty today? Are you feeling like you're on empty? Boy, I felt like I've been on empty for weeks and weeks and weeks, and just hanging on to the Lord's coattails. Hanging on, saying, "Jesus, what is this trial? What do you want of me?" See, and he allowed me to see that he wants passion in my prayer. Now, passion is intense. You may be reluctant to be impassioned, overwhelmed at the challenge of letting yourself answer the call of God. And you may fear the unknown, and you may even fear the responsibility of carrying the burden, or you may fear burnout from caring too much. You may also feel inadequate today or unprepared to carry this passion that the Lord has placed in your heart. Now, my biggest struggle with my own passion is that at times it feels too big to handle. Intense emotions are carried in my heart. I want to have everybody know the Lord, want my whole family walking in ministry, want everybody to be healthy. How many of us want this? It's too big. It's just too big for us to handle, but it's not too big for the Lord to handle, is it? So, do you remember in the book of Esther? I'm going to read something about the book of Esther because it touched my life in the last couple of weeks, and I'm hoping it touches your life, because Esther is someone. Really look her up in the Bible and read about her. Not only was she young and beautiful, her heads turned when she entered a room. Did you know that? She was married to a powerful, rich man, and life seemed just perfect. It was perfect, except for a secret that she kept hidden from everyone, including her husband. Only her family knew who she really, truly was. And then one day, she heard of a plot that would harm her family, her culture, and her future. The leader of a radical extremist group had gained the confidence of her husband. and arrange for the wholesale slaughter of her entire people. Oh, she was safe. The secret of her ethnic identity had gotten out, but others were in danger. Her perfect life was crumbling before her very eyes. Now, what should she do? What would you do? Now, think about that. What would you do? She received a stealth visit from her uncle. And after he left, his words rang in her heart. Who knows? Maybe you've come to this position for such a time as this. How many times have we heard the scriptural phrase, for such a time as this? Well, this is where it comes from, the book of Esther. She promised her uncle that she would go into her husband on behalf of her people. Her secret would be out. Her life would be on the line. And with all the courage she could find, she asked those closest to her to pray, saying, this is from the book of Esther, by the way, 4:16. If I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. That's what Esther said. But guess what? Esther didn't perish. She and her people were saved. Esther was transformed from a little, shy, timid trembler to a passionate princess by God's passion planted within her. You see, God takes care of his impassioned people. Now, he lets us all know when to act and when to be still. I don't know about you, but the being still thing gets on my last nerve, and I have to hang on to the sacraments for that one. He lets me know when and how far to step in. So I'm not so afraid because God is carrying the burden for the passion he placed within me, right? It seems strange, doesn't it, when it happens, but God will sometimes fill your heart with passion and then make you wait. How many times has this happened to you? Oh, I'm going to go work in the soup kitchen, or I'm going to really help my neighbor by taking him or her to the hospital, and I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. But God will sometimes fill your heart with a passion and then make you wait. It's not instantaneous, my friends. And at times, his purpose for your life is best accomplished when he puts your passion on hold. This happens many, many times. And I want to share a little story with you. In 1994, after finishing a series of television documentaries, I was called to be still by my spiritual director. Just be still. I just want you to be a wife and mother. Do nothing, no ministry, nothing. So one day in adoration, I was praying, Lord, this being still stuff is really getting on my last nerve because I'm hyperactive. And just daily going to adoration. And one day I heard, I want you to produce a video on the Holy Eucharist. Now, this was in 1994. Many people still believed in the Holy Eucharist. And I thought, I don't have anything. I don't have any equipment now because you asked me to be still and to be removed from ministry. So what do you want of me? And he placed a passion in my heart to produce an international documentary on the real presence of the Holy Eucharist called The Father's Gift. I didn't have a dime. I had no editing equipment. I had nothing. But he placed the passion, many of us call it a holy zeal, in my heart. And the rest is history, which someday I'll share with you. And the documentary is called The Father's Gift. So the passion we're talking about is not just a feeling. This was a passion. It was a zeal he put in me. Feelings can be acted upon, my friends, if it's convenient, right? Oh, I have a feeling I should be doing this. But passion must be acted on. Passion must be acted on. So passion's roots run deep, and we're wrapped around deep-rooted beliefs. And those convictions are the difference between a feeling that, you know, generally goes up in flames quickly and an eternal fiery bush that burns yet is not consumed. Convictions, my friends, are the staying power for passion. If you have a strong conviction to help the elderly or the poor, it's a conviction. that has staying power for passion. So how do you discover with what those convictions are? This is the purpose of this radio broadcast, to help you on your spiritual journey. What are those convictions and how do you know what they are? So this is easy. The best way to discover what you're truly passionate about is to ask yourself a few key questions. Are you ready? What truths would you die for? Oh my goodness. What truths would you die for? What principles would you go to jail to protect? What people would you place around your neck on a chopping block for? And why would you do that in the first place? Ask yourself these questions. What truths would you die for today? That's the passion. When you can say, name it, put a name to it, that's one of your passions. So many people, my friends, sail through their entire lives never facing life and death decisions. I know very few people these days. And we in the Western world can easily give lip service to various causes or principles, right? We become so lax in our faith. We may hope that if it came right down to it, we would say, I'd rather die than break my faith. Really? You would rather die than break your faith? Well, let's really, really pray into that tonight. So I want you to ask yourself what you would die for. What truth would you die for? So when praying about this, I reasoned that if I knew what I would die for, I would know what to live for. I want you to think about that. If I knew what I would die for, I would know what to live for. So how is that? Well, what are the basic tenets of this? We need to know the inerrancy of sacred scripture. Your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is based upon truth, the Bible. If the Bible is the basis for your relationship, you better be ready to defend it. God's word is life. And your heart would soon dry up, my friends, without the nourishment from God's word. So, I don't know about you, but I knew this was the first issue to live for or die for. The second is the character of God. God is triune. He's the all-knowing, all-loving creator, and he sustains all life. He's wholly good, righteous, and unchanging. He's all-powerful and always faithful. God lacks nothing. He is always dependable. And now we need to look at the deity of Christ. If Christ was not the eternal, incarnate God who died for our sins as human beings, then his sacrifice would not be eternal and complete because it would be limited, wouldn't it? And my faith would be in vain. Jesus is God and his sacrifice is complete. Now, the Holy Spirit is God. I'm asked this all the time by my grandchildren. Who's the Holy Spirit, my mom? The Holy Spirit is God. God said another of the same kind would come to comfort, lead, and guide us. God resides in me to live through me. And yes, we need to say, I am sinful. My personal sinfulness separates me from God. We are all utterly imperfect, aren't we? We need a mediator to reconnect our relationship. Christ is that mediator. Salvation is impossible through any other means. And the other tenet we need to live and die for is our church. The church and our beloved sacraments. The church is God's method for reaching the world with his love. Surprise! No, I won't die for a building. I don't know about you. I won't die for a building. but I'll die for the right to assemble, worship, and proclaim the truth. Yes, 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 yes. You must be aware of the need to assemble, to worship, to pray in community and before our beloved sacraments. Now, I know we have a lot of Catholic listeners who graduated from Catholic high schools and colleges. Do you remember Sir Thomas More and A Man for All Season? I don't even know if they teach this anymore, but I do remember it. Sir Thomas More, he was faced with execution, and he's asked by the king in his court to recant his views of the king's divorce and remarriage. When a man takes an oath, he's holding his own self in his hands, like water, and if he opens his fingers, then he needn't hope to find himself again. End of quote. I believe that to deny my convictions is to deny myself. So rejecting the passion we've been given will make our lives meaningless. What beats in your heart? What would continue if your heart continued after your death, if you were to vanish? Of course you would no longer be you. Like Jeremiah, you can discover your passion today. Don't think that this is just a radio broadcast and we're talking about it. Jeremiah discovered his passion. He said, but if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it. Indeed, I cannot. That's from Jeremiah 20, verses 9. You see, Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, wasn't he? He was a proclaimer of God's truth. And even if the people didn't respond, and if you really read the sacred scripture, they didn't. He continued to still proclaim, didn't he? And when he got tired of the poor results and wanted to quit, guess what? He still proclaimed. And even his body would react if he didn't proclaim, because he was born to be a proclaimer. What were you born to be? What were you born to be? Now ask yourself. You can discover the passion that God designed uniquely for you, my dear listener. What is on your mind as you go to sleep at night? And then first thing in the morning, when you sit for those rare, quiet moments and daydream, where do your thoughts take you? What kind of movies bring you to tears? What injustices make your blood boil? And when you read God's word, are there common themes in the verses you mark up with your yellow marker? What breaks your heart? What breaks your heart? Have you discovered yet in your faith journey what it means to live and to love God? Have you really? Every day I struggle to discover how to live and to love God. And God promises to lift us up to our high place. Now, you have the opportunity to say with the prophet Habakkuk, the Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds feet and makes me walk on my high places. Habakkuk 3:19. How many of you remember the book on hinds feet? I remember that from that 30 some years ago. Passion will carry you, my friends, to your high place. It's when you're there in the place of your passion that you can say, ah, I know who I was born to be. You see, passion, it works. And when you find out that which breaks the heart that Christ placed in you, when you pray, then you'll find your passion. When you find that which breaks the heart that Christ placed in you, then you'll find your passion. Now, tonight, my friends, I want you to write down three sentences three sentences. This is your homework from this radio broadcast. That captures times when you were moved to tears, or you decided on some action, or you resolved to reach out to someone else. That's three sentences that captured your heart and when you were moved to tears. Can you do that? That doesn't have to be long, just quick, a quick sentence. Now, interview one family member and two close friends and ask them what topics they notice you bringing up the most often. I don't know about you, but when you're a grandmom, you're always asking others to pray for your grandchildren, or you're praying for a job, or you're praying for more income. But ask your friends, hey, what's the topic I bring up the most? Oh, they should be honest with you. And are there any similarities between what they say and the three sentences that you wrote down? And then I want you to take your list to the Lord. Take a statement of faith from your church or a Christian organization. You may take it from the book of Esther, for such a time as this. And ask God to show you what you are to live for, what you are to commit, how you are to commit the passion of your heart to God in prayer. This is very important. We have never talked about the passion of our heart in this radio broadcast. We have never done that. And this is what was placed on my heart today. Very, very important. After the break, in a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking about how do we grow in our unique relationship with God in terms of growing our passion? How do we do that? How do we grow our relationship with God? It's not so hard. We've really limited the resources that the Lord has presented to us and wants us to use when he wants us to find that passion within us. As I shared, the passion was placed in me in 1994 after producing some award-winning television documentaries to be still. My spiritual director told me to be still and to test my purity of intention. Well, my purity of intention was to fight my way out of being still. It wasn't something that I wanted to do or that I chose to do because I seem to be my happiest when I'm busy. I don't know about you, but I like to work. And when I tested the purity of intention by being still and going to adoration every day, the Lord placed a passion in my heart, and that was defense of the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. It was new to me because I had a love of the Holy Eucharist. And why in the world would I have to defend the Holy Eucharist? It didn't make sense because at that time, apparitions were prominent and people were talking about apparitions. And the Holy Eucharist, we had some saints who, and saints in the 20th century who were talking about the decline in the real presence, but I just didn't understand. But the Lord placed a passion in my heart to begin a ministry, to produce a video documentary that was seen around the world without a dime. And my friends, it is this ministry in His Sign Catholic Radio Network and Dominic Lettieri, who's the founder, who helped me in that process, and the individuals who were involved as volunteers back then. I am eternally grateful because the Lord had placed that passion in their hearts. So it is through this ministry of In His Sign Catholic Radio Network that the Lord placed the passion in my heart to start a Eucharistic company and to produce Eucharistic television documentaries. So after the break, we're going to be talking more about how to grow in this passion and what the Lord wants. So I ask that you stay tuned. We have some exciting news after the break, and I'm so happy to be live with you today.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Welcome back to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm so excited to be with you today. We're talking about, hey, are you living with an empty spiritual gas tank? Do you really know who's praying for you and what's happening? I also want to mention to you, listen, you need to sign up right away. The Wake Up America dinner, you cannot wait to the last second, because the tables will be filled. It's April 23rd at Malvern Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania, which is down the road from Villanova, if you have no idea where it is, between Paoli and Villanova. And it is an amazing afternoon from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m., a delicious homemade dinner, not institutional food, homemade dinner, a wonderful auction. And by the way, Kathleen McCarthy is the keynote speaker. You can't beat anyone. Kathleen could fly in people, but Kathleen is a incredible keynote speaker. So, and the broadcasters will be available to meet and greet. It's always a fun afternoon. It's an afternoon of healing, inspiration. And by the way, there are only two major fundraisers for this radio apostolate. And this is the annual golf outing and this Wake Up America dinner. My friends, don't wait to the last second. If you want to call Maureen, it's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or you can go to the website of In His Sign Radio Network for more information. Again, I know many of you are busy with Easter and family things, and don't wait to the last minute. We want to make sure you get a seat. Also, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network is looking for sponsors and people to secure tables for family and friends. So please don't procrastinate. I know that many times people wait to the last minute and it may be too late. So April 23rd, Malvern Retreat House, Wake Up America dinner. Amazing, amazing dinner. 610-527-2906. And be sure to tell Maureen you're excited and that you can't wait to go. And bring a friend while you're at it. So again, we're talking about, is your spiritual gas tank empty? I don't know about you, but mine has been very empty since January 1st with COVID and then pneumonia and then other things happening. So this is a time when the Lord really calls us into deeper prayer, but this is when you're really alienated from family and friends, and it gets pretty lonely, and especially in the middle of the night. So my friends, I'm living it. What I'm preaching, I live. So I thank you for being with us today. So how in the world, you know, did you ever hear the term, hey, two are better than one? I'm sure. Two are better than one. And if one falls down, his friend can help him up. And though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. That's from Ecclesiastes 4. Verses 9 to 10. So it's true. No one's an island. One time someone who is quite prominent in the renewal told me that I like to pray, I like to pray, but I like to be an island. I'll never forget that. It's true, no one is an island. Relationships are some of life's greatest blessings and some of life's greatest pains, right? Oh, and how are we supposed to relate to one another when we're in pain? So when we're overly dependent on our friends, we run the risk of quenching our obedience to God. We can also develop bad friendship patterns that isolate us from future relationships that could be a joy and a blessing. On the other hand, relationships are essential for our well-being, and we need to learn between healthy interdependence and destructive dependence. Now, these are things you need to know if you're going to ask the Lord for that passion or to have affirmation on your passion. Now, interdependence says, hey, I'll be there for you. And dependent people say, well, you can't do it without me. Now, interdependent people say, I want you to change and grow. And dependent people say, I want you to stay the same as me. Interdependent people say, hey, if opening up our friendship is healthy, let's do it. Dependent people say, no one else can be your friend. Interdependent people say, I'll wait until it's convenient. Or the best line is, or God's timing. I'm waiting on God's timing. Dependent people say, I'll impose on you, but you'll understand after all, you love me, don't you? Interdependent people say, what can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? Dependent people say, what can you do to help me? Interdependent people say, hey, I'm grateful for what you've given. And dependent people say, you owe me more. Now, the Bible lists many principles for how we should relate to one another, right? The Bible. Yeah, oh yeah, the Bible. It can teach us so much, my friends. Dust it off, open it up. And when God wants to get our attention, things often get worse before they get better. Now, we said this in the beginning of the program. Don't think because you've given your life over to the Lord or you're praying that it's all going to be rosy and full of flowers and happy. There will be difficult times. So when God wants to get our attention, things often get worse, don't they, before they get better. So sometimes the wind, the earthquakes, the fires, the floods, they're all in our soul. And when we've been burned out, and I know we have listeners today who've been burned out, God uses his time to get our attention. And sometimes he shakes the very foundation of our lives, doesn't he? So we can see what we've been standing on. And sometimes God's fire purges our hearts of thoughts, plans, desires that are unhealthy. Yeah, that means no gambling off of TV, thinking, oh, I'm not going to a casino, I'm just gambling off of TV. That means not going to the local bar, oh, I'm just going to meet friends, when you really want to drink. That means not eating that whole cheesecake when you're only supposed to have a small piece or none at all. Does this relate to anyone who's listening? Sometimes he shakes the very foundation of our lives so we can see what we've been standing on. And sometimes God purges that. Sometimes he purges our heart of thoughts and plans and desires that are just unhealthy. And sometimes, my friends, he allows the wind to whip in and carry off anything that is not nailed down in our lives. And to really restore us, he has to get us pared down to the necessary and the important. And then his gentle whisper will come. Do you remember when God asked Elijah, hey, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah repeated the exact same answer as he did before. But God didn't accept it this time. He recommissioned Elijah and gave him a reality check. Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, Elijah, anoint king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Meholah to succeed you as a prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him. You see, God restored Elijah's hope by reminding Elijah, hey, you're called and needed. I have a plan for your safety. Oh, Elijah, you're not alone. And here's the network that will support you. And when we're burned out, right? I want you to think, are you burned out? When we're burned out, it comes down to the necessary and the important, doesn't it? It's because we're not believing one of those statements. You're called and needed. God has a plan for your safety. You're not alone. And this is the network that will support you. When we're burned out, it's because we aren't believing one of these statements. Intensity in your passion is necessary for influence. And by my friends, intensity, that's your drive, can accomplish what your heart can dream. So what's stopping you short today? What makes you give up the plan? And why are you feeling exhausted or discouraged? The gentle wind will cool your tired body and calm your frayed nerves. Now turn your face to the sun and take a step, just one step forward. So what do you need today? Do you need help to step up to the starting line? To stay in the race? To keep your eyes on the finish line? To listen to your coach? If you listen to Joe Trainer after this program, there's a guy that knows a lot about sports and coaching. I'm sure one of these days I'm going to interview Joe because I want to hear some of his coaching stories about kids who are discouraged or athletes who are just average, how he inspired them through prayer and the Lord's will. So what step do you need to avoid a burnout? I want you to think about that today. Remember about the three sentences that you're going to write tonight. So why are you really under stress? I want you to post a few scriptural verses on your refrigerator, maybe in your bathroom, maybe on your closet door. Write them down and post them. Now, here's another homework thing. Choose a favorite scriptural verse and mail it to your friend or mail it to a friend. It doesn't have to really relate to the friend. Just say, this is a special scriptural verse for me, and I felt led to mail it to you. That's it. Don't go into a whole epistle letter. Just say that. You see, that little scriptural verse may arrive on the proper day, the right moment, when your friend may need encouragement for the race. And again, Joe Trainer has been a coach. He's been a mentor. He's a man of God. He's been an executive. He has seen probably hundreds of athletes who need encouragement. But we need the spiritual muscle to keep on going, because it's really scary out our front door, isn't it? What we're hearing and seeing, we need to have the spiritual muscle, the passion that Christ wants us to listen to. You see, when Jesus left this world, he gave a great commission, didn't he? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This command is for every person who knows Jesus Christ personally. He didn't say, hey, only pastors should make disciples, only real evangelists, or only directors of ministries or executives. Hey, you may be asking, hey, where are the ordinary people? Where are the ordinary people? So every Christian person is called to be a person of influence and passion and prayer. Don't wait for somebody to mentor you. Challenge yourself. Challenge yourself to be mentored, or ask someone that you respect to mentor you to discover that passion. Remember we talked about that? So you and I must decide whom we're called to influence. Some people are called to influence maybe people at work, maybe people who don't know the Lord, maybe those in our neighborhood, or maybe the elderly person living down the street who gets food deliveries. Are our gifts and talents being used only for momentary popular recognition? And do you want an award from the Archdiocese? Do you want an award from your organization? Because you've done so many amazing things, and you probably have. But do you expect to get an award? Or is our influence carving our influence for Christ for generations to come? Who are we living for? Ourselves or the master craftsman, my friends? Who made us? You are a man or woman of influence. And the craftsman's working, tap, 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 on your heart to make a difference. About a year ago, I asked many of you, what do you want on your headstone? Oh, I know, I got someone, a family member said, what in the world are you doing? I want you to think about that. What do you want on your headstone? So tonight, I want you to write 3 to 5 sentences that capture what's on your heart tonight. Now, I want you to make a list of people who need the influence of God-given moments through you. Choose one person or a group. It might be your prayer group, your Bible study group, your church. Create a plan for you being a person of influence. Can you do that? See, I don't want you just listening to these radio broadcasts and thinking, I want. This is what you do. Jesus, I choose to dot, dot, dot. I choose to serve you. I choose to love you. I choose to be you in my workplace, in my family, in my neighborhood. Write a prayer to God tonight. Listing areas you'd like to grow in and asking his help. See, we have to be proactive, not sitting around for the Lord to drop the passion in our heart from above through the chimney on our walk. We need to be active to grow and ask for help. Now, put this prayer in an envelope addressed to yourself. And we did this last summer, and I pulled it up in my notes. It was so powerful. Put the prayer to God in an envelope. Address it to yourself. Yep, that's what you do. Seal it and stamp it. Now ask a friend to mail it to you after 6 months or a year. Can you remember that? You write a prayer to God, listing areas you'd like to grow in and asking his help. Now, I want you to put that prayer in an envelope, address it to yourself, seal it and stamp it, and hand it to your friend and tell your friend, hey, Susie, Joe, Mary, Lou, will you mail this to me in 6 months or a year? And my friends, I would love to have a call-in program, maybe in August, where you'll be amazed to see how God's worked in your life. You will be absolutely amazed to see how he's worked. Can you do that? Do you think you can do that? See, we're all in a struggle. And the more we watch the television and see all these tragedies, which are horrendous, we lose sight of what God wants for us. We get frightened. We lose our passion. We lose hope. When Jesus wants us to be Easter people, people of hope and joy and faith-filled and praying in community, he wants us to be Easter people. See, God answers the prayer of those who do not give up. He answers the prayers of those who do not give up. Those of us who stand firm. Are you standing firm today? Is your foundation strong? So even if we find ourselves praying for many, many years, remember St. Monica? Oh, even if we find ourselves praying for many years, we can know that God is honoring our faithfulness and that he'll continue to adjust us and guide us in our praying. Oh, God is like, and I love this, I would love to write something about this. He's like a chiropractor. When we get out of alignment, he's adjusting us. When we're looking at things with our eyes that we shouldn't be, he's adjusting us. When our back is out of alignment, we're not standing tall in our faith, he's adjusting us. Yep, God is like a chiropractor. I will write something about this one day because chiropractors are known for adjusting us when something's out of whack, correct? So we're calling up our spiritual chiropractors today to adjust us, to keep our focus on the Lord. You see, we're in a battle. We are in a battle, and the Lord has called us to fight at his side for the sake of his kingdom. He wants us to be men and women who love, who inject life into every situation we're part of. And he wants us to be men and women who pray, not the customary cafeteria Catholic or Christian. Oh, I go to Mass on Sunday. I pray the Our Father once a day. I pray grace before meals, which, by the way, is a whole program unto itself. It's very, very important to pray grace before meals. My friends, every living, breathing moment, as a friend of mine, Father John Lozansky, said in the 1970s to me, and he was from Boston, had a very powerful healing ministry with Father Ed McDonough. Many of you may remember. I remember saying to him, Father, I don't have time to pray. I have two little ones. I'm working. I'm doing ministry. I barely have time to pray. It's when they go to sleep. And he looked at me and said, Ann dear, make every moment of your life a prayer. When you do that, you will grow in holiness. So if I'm stirring the gravy, I'm making a meal, I'm taking a walk, if I'm reading something, I make every moment a living prayer now. And at night, praise music, and placing the St. Benedict medal under our bed. This is a time when we need to be active. He wants us to be men and women who pray, who wield the weapons of intercessory prayer. It's so powerful, in order that God the Father's kingdom may be established in those around us. Stand, therefore, says St. Paul, stand firm in living a life of love. Stand firm in living a life of prayer. For it is through lives of love and prayer, lived in faithfulness, that God will change the world. You see, God's prayers, he answers every prayer, and sometimes the answer is no. He wants us to not give up. Remember, he may be calling you today, and he's your spiritual chiropractor. He's adjusting you, how you think, how you pray, how you work, how you live, how you eat. The Lord wants to guide us in our prayers. He wants to guide us. And are you ready? Are you ready for this? He wants us to take on the helmet of salvation. Yes, that's right. The helmet of salvation, which is from Ephesians 6, verse 17. It's a piece of protective armor worn on our heads. And in the spiritual terms, it safeguards our minds. And one of the ways we safeguard our minds is keeping properly focused by putting on the helmet of salvation. My friends, put on the helmet of salvation. For one of the most important things for us to remember when we read the sacred scriptures is that God gives us the grace and power to do everything that he calls us to do. If he's calling you to do something, he's not going to leave you without the armor. He's not going to leave you without all the tools that are necessary if he's placing a passion in your heart. So if your spiritual tank is empty today, know that the spiritual chiropractor, the Lord Jesus, is adjusting your prayer life, and he wants you to finish the race with him. He wants to finish the race with you. If he tells us to do something in his word, then you can be assured he will give us what we need to do it. My friends, I can't say any more than that, because we need to know this is a catechetical format to prepare us for what God is calling us to. Get your eyes off the darkness and put your lives and your eyes and your family and your businesses and your health in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we give you this radio broadcast. We give you all the people who have listened. And we give you all the people who are crying out in pain tonight around the world. We beg of you, Lord Jesus, to intervene with your loving grace, with your loving Sacred Heart, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to place the mantle of protection, love, and prayer around all those who listen. We thank you and praise you in advance for all that you're doing, for all that we don't understand, and all that you're allowing to happen. Lord Jesus, we are your people. We are your Easter people. We are prepared to serve you as you have called us. And we thank you and praise you for everything, from darkness to light, for all that you have shown us. And we ask, Lord, in your holy name, that you protect us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Until next Monday, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.